So we are continuing from text number 10. So in the first verse, the description of Vidura's qualities have been given. And then in three verses, Vidura is surrendering to Maitreya, seeking shelter. So how does he hear? And the third is, what does he want to hear? The subject matter, and that we describe as what is the creation and who creates, how he creates, why he creates, and what does he create. So now the fourth part is text number 10 to 13 is why does Vidura want to hear this? Why does Vidura want to hear this subject matter from Maitreya Rishi? So now he is expressing in the next few verses the reason why he wants to hear. Right. So this will also cover around six reasons or six benefits of Krishna Katha. So text 10. So text 10 has one reason, text 11 has one reason, and text 13 has four reasons. So in this way, six reasons or six benefits. One benefit in text 10, one benefit in text 11, and four benefits in text 13. And text 12 and 14 are like examples to establish this point of how these benefits actually act. So in text 10, the first benefit Vidura is explaining of hearing Harikatha, Paravaresham Bhagavan Vratani Shrutani me vyasa mukhat abhikshanam atrapnumakshulla sukhavahanam tesham rite krishna katha mritoghat. So first benefit he mentions that Maitri Rishi may say that Vidura, you have been very much part of the battle of Kurukshetra. Or in other words, you have seen all the events which have taken place during the Mahabharata. So, why should you want to hear from me? What is the purpose? So, although Vidura has directly witnessed Krishna and Krishna's activities, but he is clarifying that Paravaresham Bhagavan Vratani Shrutani Me Vyasa Mukhat. Maitri Rishi may say, my dear Vidura, you are the son of Vyasadev. You are the son of the author of all the Vedic literatures, and you want me to explain some Krishna Katha to you? Your father has compiled all the Vedas, and you are coming to me, a third person, to hear Shastra from. What kind of logic is this? The number one authority in the entire history is Vyasadeva. Whatever is existing in terms of material and spiritual knowledge, everything is coming from Vyasadeva. Therefore, why would anyone want to explain anything to Vidura when his father himself is the author of all the Vedas? So what special benediction can Maitreya Rishi provide when Vidura had complete opportunities right from childhood? So Maitreya Rishi may feel some hesitancy in trying to explain things. So Vidura is expressing very clearly at the outset, Paravaresham Bhagavan Vratani Shrutani Me Vyasamukhat Abhikshanam. Shrutani Me, I have heard from Vyasa Mukhat, from Vyasdev, Abhikshanam, repeatedly, I don't deny that I have not heard, I have heard, but what have I heard? Para avara isham vratani. I have heard simply about the higher and lower statuses of human society. I have heard about the varnashram. I have heard about how the different statuses, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they coexist peacefully. And sometimes when there is imbalance, there are clashes amongst them. So Mahabharata is more or less simply dealing with these kind of political affairs between the different classes of society. So Vidura is accepting the fact that he has heard the Mahabharata. He has heard about these events. It is not that he is not aware, but he is saying that these topics have simply dealt with higher and lower status of human society, topics under the purview of the modes of nature. So he is saying, Atrapnuma kshulla sukhavahanam teshamrite krishna kathamritoghat atrapnuma. And therefore he says, till now, I am feeling atrapnuma, atripta, not fully satisfied. I am not satisfied. Kshulla sukhavahanam. And I have obtained only very limited pleasure. Kshulla sukha, tuchya sukha. This has not given me much satisfaction, because it is my conviction that only Krishna katha, pure Krishna katha can give me unlimited pleasure. Tesham rite Krishna katha mrito ghat. When there is Krishna katha mrita ogha. So ogha means a deluge or a kind of wave or ocean flow. So when there is flow of pure Krishna katha, unalloyed, undiluted Krishna katha, beyond the modes of nature, tesham rite Krishna katha mritokat, only then I can experience real satisfaction. Right, so only the nectar of Krishna katha can satisfy me. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that Vidurji is feeling satiated with topics of mundane social and political topics. And therefore someone may think that what about the Mahabharata? And so it is being clarified why he is saying that paravaresham bhagavan vratami shrutani me vyasamukhat abhikshanam. I have heard Mahabharata repeatedly. So someone can argue that Mahabharata is containing Krishna, is one of the characters of Mahabharata. So if Krishna is one of the characters of Mahabharata, and Mahabharata is definitely having Krishna in its different plots, so is it not Krishna katha? Is Mahabharata not Krishna katha? So Vidura is clarifying that in Mahabharata there are insufficient topics directly concerning Krishna. That is the problem with Mahabharata. There are topics concerning Krishna, but there are insufficient topics directly concerning Krishna. So, also, second reason is, the story of Battle of Kurukshetra may be interesting to the mass of the people, but to a highly elevated devotee like Vidurji, he is interested in direct Krishna katha. Therefore, to transform mundane things into spiritual, the historical events and other narrations concerning social and political activities, incidents, they can become transcendental with respect to Krishna. And therefore, we have to understand that Vidurji was concerned with direct Krishna katha. So even Mahabharata, which is generally considered to be a subject matter where Krishna is a prominent figure, even that is not considered by Vidura. He's saying, I have heard this repeatedly, but I want to hear directly about Krishna. Krishna katha amrito ghat. Therefore, atrapnuma. So that is the first benefit or the first advantage of hearing Krishna katha. Only Krishna katha can give satisfaction. Satisfaction is obtained only through hearing Krishna katha. And therefore, there are many verses describing this, that how hearing of Krishna katha gives complete satisfaction. Aho nriloke piyeta hari lilamritam vacha. In one of the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, the sages are saying, please go on describing this. Right. Vayam tuna vitrapyam uttam shloka vikrame yeta shrinavatam rasajnanam swadu swadu pade pade. That we are never satisfied. We want to hear more and more and more. Swadu swadu pade pade. At every step, this Krishna katha, this Hari katha is appearing to be more and more tasty and relishable. So this Krishna katha gives complete satisfaction. And this is the first benefit of hearing Krishna katha. The second benefit is in text 11, it is described. Krishna katha gives detachment. Kahatrapnuyat tirtha padabidanat satreshu vahasuri bhiridyamanat yahakarna nadim purushasya yato bhava pradange haratam chinatim. So it is described that kaha trapnuyat tirthapada. Who is that person who can feel satisfied with anything else but Krishna katha? So this second verse begins by emphasizing the conclusion of the previous verse and is actually making a kind of extreme statement to emphasize the point on satisfaction. Kaha trapnuyat, he is asking. Who is there in this entire creation who can feel satisfied with anything else except Krishna katha? That means if I am under the illusion that different activities can give me satisfaction, then I will only remain miserable and dissatisfied. Kaha trapnuyat tirtha pado bidanat satreshu vasuribhir idyamanat. So Suri Bhir means by the demigods, and Idyamanat means worshipable for. So Krishna, who is worshipped even by the greatest demigods, Suri Bhir Idyamanat, by great devotees, so Abhidhanat means talks of. So in human society, Satreshu, Suri Bhir Idyamanat, when devotees discuss Harikatha, Krishna Katha, describe talks of Krishna, that is the only thing which can give satisfaction, and no other activity can actually satisfy the soul. Kaha trapnuyat tirthapada. And third line says, yaha karna nadim purushasya yato bhava pradamge haratim chinatti. Now, if you say that I do not have so much taste or desire for Krishna katha, but I have desire for accumulating so many other material assets, I feel that by earning money I will be satisfied. I feel that by having a nice family I will feel satisfaction. I feel that in increasing prestige, social position, power and other kinds of opulences, I will get satisfaction. So it is not possible for me at this stage to accept the efficacy and the power of Krishna Katha. It may be theoretically all right that Krishna Katha can give complete satisfaction, but my mind is filled with so many other desires. So how is it possible that I can just give up everything and feel that yes, only Krishna Katha can give me satisfaction? Okay, for Maharaj Parikshit it was all right, because Maharaj Parikshit had already seen Krishna in the womb of his mother. And so when the notice came, he could give up everything and sit and hear Hari Katha, because he was on that platform. Atmajaya sutagara pashu dravina bandushu rajya cha vikale nityam virudha mamatam jahau. About Maharaj Parikshit it is described. Maharaj Parikshit, because he was such an advanced soul, as soon as he got the notice of death, he could immediately cut off all connection and sit to hear Harikatha from Srila Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj. Atmajaya sutagara pashu dravina bandhushu. These are the different sources of attachment which a person has. Atma, body. Jaya, wife. Suta, children. Agara, house. Pashu, household animals and paraphernalia. Dravina, money. Right, pashu is like in previous ages, people would have horses and elephants and all of these other paraphernalia. So Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport that previously there were horses and nowadays there is horsepower. Horsepower engine, that means motor cars. So previously the sources of attachment could be your elephants and horses and other things. Now it is the cars and automobiles and other things. That is the equivalent of pashu in this age. Dravina is money. Bandhushu, relatives. Rajye cha avikale anityam. Rajye avikalam means unchallenged supremacy. He had complete sovereignty. No one to challenge his power. Anityam, he understood these are all temporary. Virudham mamatam jahau. Mamatam means attachment. And attachment to these above mentioned principles is virudham, deep rooted. A conditioned soul develops deep attachments towards these different objects. But Maharaj Parikshit was advanced enough that as soon as he got the notice, jahau, he gave up attachment to all of these principles and went and sat on the bank of the river Ganges. Right. Now the question arises that I am not like Maharaj Parikshit, you are not like Maharaj Parikshit. Generally the souls are not like Maharaj Parikshit, that they may have so much of faith in Krishna Katha, so much of faith in taking shelter and understand what can give real satisfaction. Because just theoretically also knowing that something will give me satisfaction is not sufficient. Okay, I know Kirtan will give me satisfaction, holy name will give me satisfaction, but still it is not possible for me to take to that completely. Why? Because of attachments. Right. So therefore, we are worshipping Krishna Balaram. During opening of Krishna Balaram Mandir, Srila Prabhupada giving lecture. Why we worship Krishna Balaram? Why these deities Krishna Balaram? Why do we have these deities? If we have Radha Krishna, that is fine. But why we have Krishna Balaram? So Prabhupada giving very nice explanation. That Krishna is giving knowledge. Krishna is giving Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the source of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is giving us the knowledge, and that knowledge which can give us complete satisfaction. But that knowledge is known as the sword of knowledge. As Prabhupada has written one book, Sword of Knowledge. As in the fourth chapter also, Krishna says, Jnanasina Atmana. Jnanasina. Asina means sword, talwar. So this knowledge of Gita and Bhagavatam, which is given by Krishna, is like a sharp sword. But not only it is sharp, it is also a very heavy sword. So to have a sharp sword is not sufficient, because if it is too heavy, what we'll do? We won't be able to lift that sword also. So Prabhupada is saying, Krishna, He is giving us the sword. But then we are so weak, we are not able to lift that sword. So we need Balram. So Balram gives us strength to lift that sword of knowledge and then cut through our attachments. So therefore we worship Krishna and Balram. Oh my dear Balramji, please give me strength so that I can lift this sword of knowledge and cut through my illusions and attachments. Therefore, we have this Krishna Balram Mandir. Therefore, if we say that Krishna Katha, that Atrapunama Kshula Sukhavahanam Teshamrathe Krishna Katha Mratogat, by hearing Krishna Katha, I will feel great satisfaction. So naturally, if I do not have that much strength to apply this Krishna Katha, hear Krishna Katha, so many different types of attachments are there, then how is it possible for me to hear this Krishna Katha and have the patience for hearing Krishna Katha? So therefore he says here, Kahatrapnuya tirthapado bidanat satreshu vasuri biridyamanat yaha karna nadim purushasya yato bhava pradam geharatim chinati yaha karna nadim. So there is an inbuilt mechanism within this hearing Krishna Katha, that even if we do not have sufficient power to hear Krishna Katha, and we are not advanced enough to experience that satisfaction of Krishna Katha, if we simply stay and allow this Krishna Katha, this vibration to enter through our ears into the heart. Yaha karna nadim purushasya yato. Yato arthat enter. Purushasya yato. Yato means to enter. What enters? Through where it enters? Karna nadim. Through the ear holes. If this Krishna Katha enters, so you just place yourself strategically at a position, at a place where Krishna Katha can enter through your ears. So there it is said, Bhava Pradam Ge Haratim Chinati. Bhava Pradam Geha Ratim Chinati. So Chinati means cuts. What does it cut? Geha Ratim, family affection. It cuts family affection. So there is upalakshan of all the other things. Only Geha is mentioned. But Geha includes everything. Right? Graha Kshetra Sutapta Vittaihi. So that is known as upalakshan. Only one thing is mentioned and the presence of others is understood. Geha Ratim. It also means Kshetra Ratim, Suta Ratim, Vitta Ratim. Right, all the others are included in Geha Ratim. Because everything starts from there. So he says, Bhava Pradam. And this Geha Ratim gives what? Bhava Pradam. It gives bhava. Bhava means repeated birth and death. So Harikatha gives bhava, right, and Krishna Katha gives bhava, and this material topics, they give bhava, repeated birth and death. So even if one has affection, attachment, and one is not so advanced, if one simply hears Krishna Katha, chinati, one automatically develops detachment also. One gets the strength also to cut through all of these attachments like that. So Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, what is family affection? It is an illusory manifestation of Maya, and it is the only impetus for all material and mundane activities. And then what is the effect of this? Repeated birth and death. Right, so Srila Prabhupada gives the example, just like photograph, when you click, everything printed in the negative. And then when you develop, the same thing will come in the positive. So whatever we are seeing and hearing throughout our whole life, at the time of death, it is imprinted on the mind. And then ultimately we have to take birth accordingly. Therefore, if we have this attachments of the material world, again we have to come bhava pradham. We have to come again and take birth in this material world. So this Krishna Katha cuts through the different knots within the heart. And that in detail is there in the first canto, second chapter. The whole process is described. So therefore, there is a concept which our Ravindra Swarup Prabhu mentions. It is known as performative utterance. Something called performative utterance. It means that although there are different types of sound vibrations, but some sound vibrations have the potency and the power to award a certain type of result when spoken by the right person in the right circumstances to the right people. Right. So that is known as performative utterance. It's not just words, but these words have a certain kind of effect. For example, a judge is sitting in court, and judge, he says, I hereby sentence this criminal to 6 months imprisonment. So these are just words which have been spoken, but these are not ordinary words. The words which have been spoken by this judge are going to change the life of the person hearing it. Next 6 months, that fellow who is standing there pronounced as a criminal cannot stay in his house. These words spoken by the judge, they have an automatic effect in renouncing him from his house, and he has to come and stay in the jail. Right. So that is known as an example of performative utterance, but it is spoken by the right authority, the judge, at the right place, that is the court, and with the right kind of evidence. So anyone, like sitting here, if I sitting on the Vyasasana, I say, I sentence you to 3 months prison, it has no effect, because I have no power, I have no authority. Nor the judge, if he goes home and is sitting and taking food, and he finds that the salt is less, he tells the wife, I sentence you to 1 month in imprisonment. So she will laugh, because that has no effect at home. So he is no longer acting as judge in that place. So not only he must be authorized, but he must be speaking in a proper assembly, and then it has the proper effect. And therefore, it is always recommended that Harikatha be spoken in the association of devotees. Just like when the judge speaks certain words in the courtroom, those words carry meaning. Similarly, Krishna Katha when spoken where? Satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha tat joshanata shvapavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. So the first words of this shloka is describing that These vibrations must be spoken in what ambience, what environment, in which kind of atmosphere? Satam prasangam. Not jnaninam prasangam. Not yoginam prasangam. Satam. The devotees. The sattvatas. So when Krishna Katha is spoken in the association of devotees, then when the words are spoken, those words are not mere words. These sound vibrations have a certain influence, certain impact within the heart. After that criminal hears those words of the judge, his life doesn't remain the same. His life changes. Similarly, when we come for Bhagavatam classes, Gita classes, we have this criminal mentality of lording it over material nature and going against Krishna. But when we hear these sound vibrations, so these vibrations have a similar effect, our life changes. Our life does not remain the same anymore. So only thing is, the judges, just like if the judge says, criminal dismissed, right, his sentence reduced, he is liberated, something like that. Similarly, when we hear Krishna Katha from authorized sources, automatically all of our sinful reactions destroyed and detachment automatically develops. It has an effect. Or just like a priest, he may be performing a marriage ceremony. So he says, I now hereby pronounce the two of you man and wife. So life doesn't remain the same for both parties after those words have been uttered. Right? So these are not just words, but these are words which have great power, which have great effect. Therefore, the words spoken as Krishna Katha in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, they have great powerful influence in transforming our lives. So this is known as the second benefit. It gives detachment. So it gives satisfaction, it gives detachment, and detachment means that slowly we become free from all the different things we are previously attached to. And then we can see that how when Srila Prabhupada was preaching, so many devotees hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and their life transforming. And four regulative principles automatically become easy for someone to follow. Like Brahmananda Prabhu explaining that how when he joined, he had savings of $2,000 or some amount, and he brought all of that and gave it to Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada, he gave him three books, the first three volumes of the first canto. And Prabhupada said, $6 for this. And Brahmananda Prabhu said, I've already given you everything. Prabhupada said, that is extra. You know, you have to pay for this. And so he had to give extra. And he was feeling that Srila Prabhupada is really testing my attachment. And then I realized that when it comes to surrendering to Guru, that means wholesale. Everything he expects. So there is no conception of thinking that now I have become completely detached, I have given everything. There is no end to the extent to which we can become detached and surrender ourselves to Krishna and his devotees. Right? Therefore, Krishna Katha gives detachment. And the example of detachment Prabhupada gives in some places of devotee, just like inside coconut. I don't know if you are aware, but coconuts, which are very commonly found in India, the coconuts have the white portion attached from within, and then there is water inside. But when that same coconut dries up, so the white portion within, that's called the kernel, it just detaches itself from the inside portion of that coconut, and then it becomes like a round ball within. And when you shake the coconut, you can hear the sound within. So Prabhupada said, great devotees within this material world, are like this dried up coconut. They are within this world, but still not attached to the world, completely detached. So therefore, by hearing Krishna Katha, one becomes completely detached, and then one is able to engage everything in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada gives warning in Nectar of Instruction that unless one is very highly advanced and totally detached, one is not able to engage everything in Krishna's service. Someone came and told Srila Prabhupada that there is this Babaji, there is great Swamiji in Gujarat who is totally detached. He does not touch any money. As soon as money is brought in front of him, he gets a shock and he just moves his hand like this. And they showed Prabhupada the photograph of this Swamiji. There was a big bundle of notes in front of him, rupee notes, and this Swamiji was, you know, in disgust, keeping his hands like this. I don't want this. And Prabhupada said, you take another photograph of me, bring all of these rupee notes, and I will put my hands like this, that I want all of this money. And why? Because this is a false idea of detachment. And all of this money I can actually use in Krishna's service, because I understand that the real detachment means attaching to Krishna, using everything in Krishna's service. Therefore, yah karna nadim purushasya yato bhava pradam geharatim chinati. One's attachment to one's family is cut off, but then one gets connected and attached to the larger family of devotees. And the larger family of devotees is always very special. And therefore, one should know that Krishna Katha cuts off our attachment to the material, mundane things of this world and brings us close to devotees. So this is the second benefit of hearing Krishna Katha. It gives detachment. Then the 13th verse, we'll skip the 12th verse. 12th verse I'll come after the 13th verse. So 13th verse is giving four benefits of hearing Krishna Katha. And in case you are making a presentation where you have to quote one verse which describes many benefits of Krishna Katha, so this is a very good verse for that. 3:5:13. Sashraddha dhanasya vivardhamana viraktim anyatra karoti pumsan harer padanu smriti nirvrtasya samasta dukkhapyayam ashudhate. So first is sa shraddha dhanasya vivardhamana. So number one, viraktim, it gives indifference to other things. Now in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that other things include things like liberation, Brahmananda, and other kinds of conceptions one becomes indifferent to. One becomes indifferent to mukti or yoga or other things. That is the meaning of virakti. Right? So, it gives indifference to other activities or other conceptions. Viraktim anyatra. So, vivardhamana sraddha dhanasya. So, Prabhupada gives definition of who is this sraddha dhana pumsa. Sraddha dhana. Who is that sraddha dhana? One who is engaged anxiously in bona fide hearing of Krishna Katha. He is Shraddha Dhana, or one whose faith is increasing. One who is hearing Krishna Katha in a bona fide way. Virakti manyatra karoti pumsan harer padanu smriti. The next benefit is that Harer Padanusmriti, it brings about remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. One remembers Krishna's lotus feet. That means one becomes engaged in transcendental service of the Lord. So this is a sequence. That means in the text 11, one becomes free from bhukti kama, then one becomes free from mukti and siddhi kama, and then one comes to the stage of bhakti. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakala, ashanta, Krishna bhakta, nishkama, ata eva, shanta. So text 11 describes about chinati, geharatim chinati is bhukti, desires for material enjoyment. Virakti, referring to mukti, you know, kind of liberation or Brahmananda or other kinds of concepts. So when one passes through all of these different stages, automatically hearing of Krishna Katha makes you indifferent to bhukti, to mukti, to siddhi. And it not only takes away the negatives, but also makes you attached to the positive. And that is described as remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. That means engaging in Krishna's service, in bhakti. Harer pada no smriti. So you engage in Krishna's service by hearing. Now, when you engage in Krishna's service by hearing, what is the effect of that? Nirvritasya, one experiences transcendental bliss. That is the next benefit. Harer padanu smriti nirvritasya. And thus, what is the other benefit you get? Two benefits. One is we get transcendental bliss, and by experiencing this transcendental bliss, next, samasta dukkha apyayama shudhate, all of material miseries are vanquished without delay. Right? That means this Krishna Katha has so much of power that it is elevating us from the stage of hankering for material desires and bringing us to the stage of highest transcendental bliss, and all kinds of material miseries are destroyed. So therefore, first is satisfaction, second is detachment, third is indifference, fourth is remembrance, fifth is enjoyment, and sixth is freedom. Satisfaction, detachment, indifference, remembrance, enjoyment, and freedom. These are the six benefits, the six advantages of hearing from bona fide sources Krishna Katha. So Prabhupada is explaining in this verse very nicely. Sashraddha dhanasya vivardhamana virakti manyatra karoti pumsan. So he is giving the negative, that Shraddha dhana pumsa, while explaining, is saying that mundane wrangler foolishly interprets and squeezes artificial meaning from Bhagavad Gita for ulterior motive. He develops no benefit. Right? So it is very common, especially in India, that people try to derive some artificial meaning. So if you are hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in that fashion, then you are not known as Shraddha Dhana Pumsa. These benefits accrue only to a person who is fulfilling the second word of this verse, Shraddha Dhanasya Vivardhamana. Who is that Shraddha Dhanasya Vivardhamana who is hearing in parampara without interpretation? Otherwise, Sanskrit is a very fascinating language and all kinds of different interpretations can be taken out of this language. And many people, they make all kinds of misinterpretations, you know, even out of Bhagavad Gita. Like in 15th chapter of Gita, there is one verse which says, Adhishtana manaschayam vishayan upasevate. So the word chayam comes. So there are some sannyasis who say this chayam means chai. You can drink chai. Sarvasya chai. There is 15, this was quoted. This was told by one of the Gaudiya Math sannyasis. His Guru Maharaj, one of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's disciple, he met the Maharaja of Tripura who was studying Gita under a scholar. And he said, according to him, this meaning of Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto. He says, Sarvasya Chayam Hridi. That everyone likes chai so much, which is cooked on Sannivishto, which is cooked on stove, which is heated on a stove. Everyone likes chai, which is cooked on a stove. So therefore, we all drink chai, hot chai, because Gita recommends it. You know. So to the extent there is facility in India to understand transcendental knowledge, to that extent there are as many traps also. Now one doctor in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, when I was giving a lecture to consultants in Mira Road, he had also apparently read some Gita. And he was saying that actually I am more and more confused because I am also a Sanskrit scholar. And he was saying that the Sanskrit is such a fascinating language that it is impossible to actually find out what is the exact meaning of a certain verse unless you have proper guidance. And he was quoting one example, a very beautiful example, he said. He quoted a verse and he said, how this verse, it confused me for such a long time. The verse said, Keshavam patitam drishtva Pandava harsha nirvara rudanti kauravastu haha keshava keshava. So he said this verse, the direct meaning says, Keshavam. Keshav means Keshav Krishna. Patitam drishtva. Seeing Krishna fallen on the ground, Pandava, the Pandavas, harsha nirbhara, became very happy. And rudanti kauravastu, and all the Kauravas started crying, ha ha, Keshava, Keshava. Oh, what has happened to Keshav? What has happened to Keshav? Now somebody hears this verse, he'll be bewildered. That which Pandavas are you talking about? The Pandavas are happy if Krishna is fallen, and Kauravas are crying. So he says, actually there is another meaning, that K also refers to a lake, a body of water. And Shavam means a dead body. So K Shavam means a dead body, Patitam means fallen. So a dead body which is fallen in a lake, Drishtva. So seeing a dead body fallen in a lake, Pandavah harsha nirbhara. Pandavah also means fishes. So fishes in the lake became very happy that we got something to eat. And Kaurava refers to crows. So there were crows sitting on the tree and they were waiting to eat this dead body. But when they saw the dead body fallen in water, Rudanti Kaurava, they started crying. Oh, ha ha, Keshava, Keshava. Oh, this dead body has fallen into the water. It has fallen into the water. We cannot eat it. So the crows were crying like that. So he's saying that this is like two meanings. The same thing. Therefore, in the Vedic Shastras, there is the Mukhya Vritti and the Gauna Vritti. So Mukhya Vritti means direct meaning. And when the direct meaning cannot be understood, does not make sense, then the Gauna Vritti or the indirect meaning must be taken. But if the direct meaning can be understood and taken, then the indirect meaning should not be referred to. That is, one of the principles. And so the Shankaracharya, what he has made is, he has made big trouble by interpreting the whole Gita, all the literatures according to Gauna Vritti. And Prabhupada gives example that if someone says that Gangayam Ghosham Palli, there was this house or a town on the Ganges. Now this sentence does not make direct sense. So on the Ganges means on the bank of the Ganges. So Gauna or indirect translation or understanding has to be given. Or Saindhava means salt. Saindhava also means horse. So if you are sitting on dining table and ask, bring me Saindhava. So naturally, if you are sitting on dining table and you are asking for Saindhava, it cannot be horse. Because what you will do with horse on dining table? So you want salt. So if someone sitting on chariot and then say, bring Saindhava, that time you can't bring salt. So you have to bring horse. So according to the contextual reference, a certain meaning has to be understood, and that interpretation can be given. And that is called Gauna Vritti or indirect understanding. But if direct meanings are clear, straightforward, Krishna is saying, Mattah parataram nanyat, aham sarvasya prabhavo. These are all direct understandings. No need for any interpretation at all. Sarva dharman parityajya, accept my shelter. Mamekam sharanam braja. So these are direct understandings. And therefore, if anyone gives up the mukhya vritti, the direct interpretations, and accepts the gauna vritti, the indirect interpretations, rejecting the direct meanings, then he is acting against the principles of the parampara. And therefore such a person cannot be referred to as Shraddhadhana. One Sanskrit scholar was brought by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu to Srila Prabhupada. And he said that Srila Prabhupada asked him, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu introduced, Srila Prabhupada, here is a Hindu teacher, he is doing his PhD in Hinduism in so-and-so university, he's a great scholar, he's a great professor. Oh, sorry, he had already done PhD, he was a professor, he's a PhD scholar in Hinduism. So Srila Prabhupada said, so you are teaching Hinduism? Can you define what is Hinduism? And he said, no, Swamiji, it's not so easy, it's very complicated to try to explain this. And Prabhupada said, so you do not know, and still you are teaching. So, and he referred to one of his sannyasi disciples standing nearby. If someone does not know, but still he teaches, what is he called? So he said, cheater, Prabhupada. So this man flared up. He said, you are calling me a cheater? I'm a professor. I'm teaching for so many years. And you are telling you are a teacher. So Swamiji, you tell me, what is the meaning of this verse? Sarva dharman parityajya. Sharanam. Tell me, what is the meaning of Sharanam? So Prabhupada said, Sharanam means surrender. And this man said, no, you give me the etymological meaning. And Prabhupada said, you don't need guru, you need a Sanskrit teacher. So this man was arguing, and Prabhupada said, why should I answer your question? First of all, you surrender. And then when you surrender, then I will answer. He said, okay, then I surrender. So Prabhupada said, if you surrender, then shave up first, like all of these other students, then I will answer. And this man became really heavy and he was shouting. And Prabhupada also shouted back. And they were going back and forth, and finally Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, feeling very, very bad, that why did I bring this man? I was thinking that he'll be a nice, you know, impression, so that we have good contacts in the university. And then finally Brahmananda Prabhu intervened when things became too heavy, lifted him up and took him out. And then next day, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu entered Prabhupada's room and said, please forgive me for bringing that professor, because I didn't know that he is going to create so much of agitation. And it was not required that he should have met you, because he was not in the proper attitude. Prabhupada said, that is all right. At least he was nicely chastised. And now he knows what exactly is the meaning of understanding from a spiritual authority. So unless one hears from a proper spiritual authority, it is not possible to understand transcendental spiritual knowledge. Because this knowledge cannot be understood by speculation. Therefore the word sa shraddha dhana vivardhamana means engaged anxiously in bona fide hearing of Krishna katha. So the hearing has to be bona fide. The hearing must be of Krishna katha. Number two, it must be bona fide. And number three, we must be anxious. And then all of these different results can be obtained. Therefore, 10th canto Bhagavatam says, Nisha mukhe shukhadyota tamasa bhanti nagriha yatha pape na pashanda nahi veda kalau yuge. In Kali Yuga, very difficult to find bona fide Paramahamsas or Bhagavatas. Just like in rainy season, the sky is covered by clouds. And because the sky is covered by the clouds, the light of the luminaries like the moon and the stars cannot be seen. Nishamukheshu khadyota, and the only light which can be seen on a dark night during a rainy season is the light of the fireflies, Jugnu. That is the only light which can be seen. And they are going tim 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 everywhere, and by seeing that light, one may feel that this is real effulgence. This is real illumination. And therefore, insignificant mundane wranglers who completely misinterpret, misconstrue the real meaning of Gita and the Bhagavatam pass off as great scholars and revealers of truth. Whereas the real self-effulgent Paramahamsa Vaishnava Acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and so many other great Acharyas, people don't know about them. So that doesn't mean that they do not have the power. They are as powerful as the moon, but what to do? The Kali Yuga is a powerful Yuga where the clouds of ignorance are very prominent, and these clouds of ignorance have covered over. But Srila Prabhupada says, still this age is so wonderful that somehow the clouds part, and through that clouds the rays of the moonshine pass through, and people still, in spite of that ignorance, get some benefit, some mercy. One disciple went with Srila Prabhupada's books to meet the Maharaja of Indore. He tried to convince him about those books, gave him those books and came back. And he was telling Srila Prabhupada that I was trying to convince this Maharaja about your books, and I spoke so and so things about your books. Was it the right things which I spoke about your books? And Srila Prabhupada said, my books are like gold. It does not matter how you describe them. It does not matter what words you use to describe them. Gold is gold. Those who know the value will purchase it, will understand it, and will take benefit from these. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada and these great Acharyas have given us this bona fide literatures. And therefore, anyone who gets connected to these bona fide literatures and hears is known as Shraddhadhana Pumsa. And such a Shraddhadhana Pumsa gets the benefit of all the above principles. Sa Shraddhadhanasya Vivardhamana Virakti Manyatra Karoti Pumsa Harir Padanu Smriti Nirvritasya Samastha Dukkhapyayam Ashudhate. So in this way, Vidurji is completing this section where he is describing six nice benefits of hearing Krishna Katha. And verse number 12 and 14, he will actually reveal this concept by comparing pure Krishna Katha with Vyasadeva's other composition, the Mahabharata. That he's substantiating actually in verse 12 and 14 the point which he made in verse 10. One point which he made in verse 10 was that Paravaresham Bhagavan Vratani Shrutani Me Vyasamukhat Abhikshanam. I have heard these things repeatedly from Vyasadeva. I don't want to hear those things. I want to hear pure Krishna Katha. So someone may think, so what does it mean? Vyasadeva has given something nonsense? Or Vyasadeva has given something to misdirect the souls? Or what exactly Vyasadeva has given that his son is asking such a question that I don't want to hear what Vyasadeva, you know, spoke. I've heard these things repeatedly from him. I want to hear something from you. Pure Krishna Katha. So what business Vyasadeva is engaged in misleading people or what? So he is clarifying in 12 and 14 that no, ultimately Vyasadeva's plan also, while giving all of these literatures like Mahabharata, is the same only, is to ultimately bring one to the point of Krishna Katha. That we'll just discuss tomorrow. Any questions?
We hear a conversation between Naradamuni and Srila Vyasadeva.
Right.
And as soon as Naradamuni, as you remember, Srila Vyasadeva is somewhat discontent.
Right.
Because he feels unsatisfied at heart, and even himself he comes to the proper conclusion, meaning he hasn't fully sufficiently verified Krishna.
Right.
And as soon as Naradamuni appears on the scene, he corroborates by saying, are you satisfied? He's identifying himself with the body of the mind. And there's quite a few verses there actually.
Yeah.
Where Naradamuni is quite heavy.
Very heavy.
And obviously he hasn't sufficiently glorified Krishna. And of course, in his purpose, Srila Prabhupada at length corroborates that. And this gave rise to Srimad Bhagavatam. Because then, yesterday, upon hearing those instructions, Bhakti Yogananda Nasis Samyak Kali Tehale, Apashat Purusha Ponam Mayam Sadaravashtayam. So, my point is, we cannot overlook the fact that yesterday, was completely in line. How do you reconcile this? I mean, it's quite amazing actually. He is himself Bhagavan Shakararishi.
Yeah, I think your answer will come in the 12th and 14th verse, which we'll discuss tomorrow. I mean, his son himself is like putting the record straight, so to say, that what is his plan? Why Vyasadeva actually made this whole story? Yeah. Naishkaramyam api achyuta bhava varjitam na shobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. He's saying, if Achyuta Bhava is not there, Varjitam, yadi Achyuta Bhava nahi hai, Varjitam, na shobhate. Isme koi shobha nahi. It's not good. Jnanam, this jnana alam niranjanam. It is tasteless. Kota puna shashvata bhadram ishvare. And then he's saying, Jugupsitam. Dharma kritenu shasata svabhava raktasya mahan vyatikrama. In fact, he's saying you have actually brought about mahan vyatikrama. Mahan vyatikrama means great transgression. Jugupsitam means highly abominable. to the extent of even, you know, sometimes jugupsi is also jugupsa in Hindi or Sanskrit, also means sin, like agha, paap. Bahut bada paap kar diya tumne. You have committed a great paap by giving these Vedas. He's chastising like that. Jugupsitam. Dharma kratayanu shasata. Dharma ke naam par. In the name of dharma, you actually committed great sin by giving all of these literatures. Suhavaraktasya mahanvitikrama. Because people have already a tendency, they have a kind of a feeling, a desire to engage in sense gratification, and you have only increased that desire by giving these literatures. So, why exactly he is doing that? We'll see. Srila Prabhupada, of course, also mentions that just like there was a certain time for the Gita to appear, certain time for Srimad Bhagavatam also to manifest. And the Lord wanted to reveal that out of all of the different words which He has expressed, the final conclusion is the Srimad Bhagavatam. That means, people say that we are Vedantis. There are so many Vedantists in India, you know. But a beautiful understanding is in Srila Prabhupada's own name, Bhakti Vedanta. Actually, it is a double usage of the same word. Vedanta means the end of the Vedas, the conclusion of the Vedas. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo. So actually the Vedanta means bhakti. The conclusion of Vedas is Krishna. And understanding Krishna is through bhakti. So the actual original meaning of Vedanta means bhakti. But after Shankaracharya, the entire meaning of Vedanta was totally twisted. And rather than understanding Vedanta to be bhakti, people developed an impersonal understanding of Vedanta. In order to set the record straight, Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj and one more godbrother of Prabhupada, in I think the 1950s, or they gave Srila Prabhupada this name, Bhakti Vedanta. In the history of Vaishnav Sampradaya, first time such a word has been given to anyone. Bhakti Vedanta means one who will establish that bhakti, one who has established that bhakti is the conclusion of all the Vedas. So actually, it is the same thing. Bhakti means Vedanta and Vedanta means bhakti. So why this Bhakti Vedanta together? It is just to highlight. I don't think Vedanta means impersonal. It is Bhakti Vedanta. As we say, as sometimes we say, perfectly correct. You know, it's a repetition. Right. In order to establish that it is the same thing, like I was telling this story that some of us, we had gone to Chitrakoot 2 years back, just before Kumbh Mela. And there we were, it was very cold and it was a nice dharmashala. One devotee's temple was there, Ram temple, and they were having attached prasadam facility. So they were giving nice hot chapatis and everything, and they were giving a full bowl of ghee with a spoon in middle of every table. That you take this ghee. And we were feeling extremely, you know, grateful that he's giving so much of ghee every day to just pour over rice, to pour over sabji or whatever we want. And we are asking him, this is ghee? He said, yes, this is ghee. Use it. So everyone eating like anything, ghee, ghee. And after 3 days when we were going, somebody finally asked, is this cow's milk pure ghee? He said, no, this is Dalda Vanaspati ghee. That means this is the vegetable oil. Vegetable oil in India also called Dalda ghee. But because that is the most prominent everywhere, so he says, we call this ghee here. Because cow's ghee we hardly see. So we are calling this only ghee. So therefore, originally ghee means cow ghee. Whenever the Sanskrit word ghritam comes in any Vedic literature or Bhagavatam or anywhere, nobody has to translate it as not Dalda ghee. It is cow's ghee. You know. But this last 100 years, hydrogenated vegetable oil has come. And that is like Dalda and other kinds of, you know, brands. So people start thinking this is ghee. So therefore when someone says this is ghee, you have to clarify, is this cow's ghee? Or this is hydrogenated ghee, or we, so we say, okay, cow's ghee. So therefore it is written on cow's ghee. It's like bhakti Vedanta. Vedanta actually means bhakti, but no need for both. So ghee means cow's ghee only, but now because things are impure, so you have to add that. Right. So therefore, we see that actually Vyasadeva came to give the real bhakti only. And hence the last verse of the Bhagavatam is giving the conclusion. And that last verse is that Sankirtanam of 12th canto, that the Sankirtan of the holy name is the ultimate means of deliverance in this age. Right? So therefore Harinam Sankirtan is the last word given by the author of all the Vedas. The timing is given as the sandhya between Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. What happened was that the Vedic literatures were previously only in sound form. And then an incident took place on the Yuga Sandhya, or the overlap between Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga, because of which at a certain time towards the end of Dwapar Yuga, a certain incident took place, and then Vyasadeva had to appear. And this was that there was a severe drought or famine all over this planet, and then all the sages, the great demigods, and they were all praying to Lord Brahma. And Gautam Rishi also performed severe austerities, and he pleased Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma appeared to Gautam Rishi and said that, okay, you can fulfill your desire. And Gautam Rishi said that, I want the benediction that although there is so much of famine, I should be able to feed and provide hospitality to any sage, any rishi, all the great brahmanas who come to my hermitage, and I want to serve like this. So because I feel if I am able to serve, then there will be nice profuse rainfall. So he gave him that benediction. So then Gautam Rishi went to his ashram, and his ashram you may be knowing, it's like near Chitrakoot, Nasik, Maharashtra. So he was performing these austerities, and then the great many rishis and many brahmanas came, and automatically all kinds of abundant supplies were provided by Brahmaji's benedictions. So these rishis were fully satisfied and they wanted to leave because it started raining after that. So then Gautam Rishi said, no, please don't leave. I want to serve you more. So then they stayed back and he continued serving them. And then they said, now we want to leave. He said, no, you stay. I want to serve you even more. And he was practically serving them by force, not allowing them to go. So this Brahman Rishi is just waiting and waiting and thinking, why we came here in the first place? We are stuck up now. He's not allowing us to go. He's not giving us permission. So they made a plan. So they took one of them. They created a mystic calf by their mystic powers. And that calf was standing on the way in the dark early in the morning. And when Gautam Rishi walking early in the morning to take bath in Godavari, he suddenly touched that calf. And by the arrangement, they were remote controlling this calf. The calf died. And they came and started shouting at Gautam Rishi, "You have killed a calf. You are a gohatyara. You have done gohatya. You have killed cow. And we cannot eat and drink anything at a place where there is cow killer. So we have to leave." So he said, "Okay, fine." So finally, they got their escape and they left that place. And then Gautam Rishi went to do prayaschitta. So when he was doing prayaschitta, again he got all of his powers and he realized that he has been cheated. That this was all a mystic power. So he became angry and he cursed the brahmanas that all the Vedic knowledge you have will be finished. So at that time, all the Vedic knowledge would always be within the brahmanas, in their minds, in their hearts. So by the curse of Gautam Rishi, all that Vedic knowledge was lost. And therefore, an emergency created. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir. So whenever there is dharmasya glanir, tadatmyaham srijamyaham, tadatmanam srijami. So Krishna had to appear because it was emergency. So at that time, when there was dharma glani, all the Vedas lost by the curse of Gautam Rishi, so Krishna appeared as Vyasadeva. And then he started compiling all the Vedic literatures in writing, in written form. So that is the beginning when all that Vedic knowledge which used to be recorded only in sound, that was taken away. And then Vyasadeva recorded. This was like end of kind of Dwapar Yuga. So we'll... Yeah, you have one. Yeah. Sorry?
Different personalities.
Yeah, yeah.
Personal association with Krishna received him. So similarly, even though you give nice explanations about why Krishna's trying to make a conclusion of Bhaktivedanta, how can we present or prevent having brutal intelligence towards understanding why Krishna's trying? Sometimes people come to religion for material purposes.
Okay. Specifically in Kali Yuga, this will be rampant because there are five types of irreligion described in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam. Adharma, paradharmascha, abhasa upama chala. Adharma shaka panchema dharmagya dharmavityajet. Five types of irreligion are existing. Adharma, paradharmascha, abhasa, upama and chala. So this fifth type, it's a detailed topic, we won't discuss all the five. But the fifth one is chala. Chala means word jugglery. So it is one of the irreligions which are inherently existing. Word jugglery, misinterpretation by word jugglery. That's one of the types of adharma. One of the types of irreligion. So it is always existing. And so it is not possible to stop it. So Krishna has created the material world, and in that all kinds of impurities are also created. All types of negative principles are also created. But then the positive things are given to us so that we can accept it. So Krishna always gives all the choices, but then also presents the best thing and leaves us to use our discrimination so that we accept what is the best. In Gita he does it, gives all kinds of knowledge, but then always claims bhakti to be the best. In Bhagavatam also there is so much phalastuti in so many places. You do this, you get this. You know, it's kind of attracting people to hear Bhagavatam. But ultimately, it is pure bhakti only, all through. So therefore, these principles cannot be stopped. abhasa or word jugglery will always exist at all times. Right? But when you come in contact with a pure devotee, then automatically the knowledge will be revealed to you without fail. That's what Srila Prabhupada would say, that there were so many translations of Gita before he went to the West. Not a single one changed anyone's heart. But one Bhagavad Gita as it is, and so many people becoming devotees. So that is the most important principle. By seeing the effect, you know, you can actually understand and realize. Like in Russia, Bhaktivigyan Goswami Maharaj, he was telling that he was a scientist and he was being closely watched by the KGB, and he was taken in by the KGB once for interrogation. And then the KGB asking questions from the Bhagavad Gita to him to understand how much he has studied the Gita. And by hearing that, he felt, if they know the Gita so much, simply to stop the Hare Krishnas, they have studied the Gita so much, I should be more sincere in studying it completely. So from that time onwards, he studied Bhagavad Gita more thoroughly. And he still considers KGB to be one of his Path Pradarshak Guru. You know, showing the way, giving inspiration. Right? But they were studying Gita, but they, not all of them got transformed. Because they were studying with a different motive, different purpose, and they were not into the mood, not hearing submissively. And they were kind of just making sure that nobody takes to this process seriously. So therefore, one has to be also in the right mood. Right? Then things will definitely take effect. Especially in India, there are so many interpretations. Like, two Chaturvedis came to Prabhupada. You know, Chaturvedis is like a class in India. Their surname is Chaturvedi, means they are supposed to be expert in all the four Vedas. Right? So, Trivedi, they are Brahman surname in India. You know, Dvivedi, Trivedi, Chaturvedi. Dvivedi means who's studied two Vedas. Trivedi means three Vedas. Chaturvedi means four Vedas. So they were arguing, they just came to take darshan of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at them and said, so, who is God? And they said, Swamiji, it is not an easy question. I mean, the answer is very complicated. It will take a very long time to explain who is God. And there was a Gurukul boy who was playing nearby. Prabhupada, come here. And there was one jar of laddus kept. And Prabhupada put his hand on that jar of laddus and asked the boy, who is God? And he looked at that jar and he felt, yes, if I give the right answer, I'll get that laddu. He said, Krishna is God. Prabhupada took out one laddu and said, very good. Again put the hand. He said, who is Krishna? And then the boy said, Supreme Personality of God. Very good. Another laddu. Said, go. And he looked at these two scholars and he said, even a small boy knows who is God in our Hare Krishna movement. So that the two scholars said, the small boy may know that who is God, but he does not know how Krishna is God. That he doesn't know. Prabhupada said, even Krishna himself doesn't know how he is God. Because by the time he knows, comes to know his qualities go on increasing. Wo to Bhagwan bhi nahi jante. Krishna also does not know. So therefore, simply by theoretical scholarship, you can't understand anything. So one time Giriraj Maharaj completely engaged in Prabhupada's service and not getting any time to read books. So he was thinking in the mind that, oh, I'm not getting much time. So Prabhupada somehow detected this thought in his mind, and he just, when he was serving in his room, Prabhupada just said, Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Don't think that this Bhagavat means only book. Bhagavat means book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. And nityam Bhagavat seva, you are completely engrossed in this court case with Mr. N for this jewel, and that is also Bhagavat Sevaya, because you are serving me. And therefore, simply by doing this, you will become also purified. Sushrusha Sraddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahatsevaya Viprapunya Tirthani Shevanat. So when one serves great devotees, one develops taste for hearing. So therefore, service and hearing cannot be compartmentalized. They all go together. And therefore, the real import is revealed only to one who is engaged in such faithful service. And that is exactly what Narad Muni is testifying by his own example. The first example Narad Muni gives to Vyasadeva, giving him the inspiration to compose Bhagavatam, is his own example. Right? He explains how he was engaged in serving the Bhakti Vedantis. And by doing that service, he developed a desire to hear. Uchishta lepan anumodito dvijo sakrita sma bunje apasta kilbisham. So by serving them, by tasting the remnants, I became purified and developed the taste. So therefore, bona fide association and service in that association is important. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, many times, you know, he would emphasize that reading too many books is not important. Read little bit and then serve. And by that service, that knowledge becomes realization. Because it is not how much money you earn that is important, but how much money you save that is important. It is not how much you eat that is important, but how much you digest that is important. Similarly, it is not how much you study and read that is important, but how much you can assimilate as realization, that is important. So one of his illiterate disciples, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, went, and then he was gardening, you know, he was doing some gardening in the temple garden. He came upon him and said, "Okay, tell me something about what you know of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings." And this was an illiterate brahmachari. And he just repeated few things which he knew. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur turned to his other disciples and said, "Just see, he is illiterate, he doesn't know to read and write, but because he is hearing submissively from the right authorities, he knows more than all of these sahajiyas and all of these other pandits and all of these other mayavadis who are simply speculating." And therefore he used to call the Vedantists, said that the devotees are real Vedantists. In Bengali, they don't use va, they use ba. So they would say Vedanti. Danta in Hindi or Sanskrit means teeth. You know? So they would say, "We are Vedanti." Means with our philosophy, we knock out the teeth of the impersonalists, of the Mayavadis. We are actually the Vedanti. And therefore, if we hear in the right association, and do humble service under proper authority, then one actually gets realization. And we are here for realization. So therefore, that is the most important thing. And Narad Muni's own example is very, very significant. That he first engaged in so much of seva, and then he received the mercy, and then the realization came upon. And the proof of that realization is, when there was distress, he was not bewildered. If you have only theoretical study, when there is distress, you take shelter somewhere else. Tada tadaham ishasya bhaktanam sham abhipsatam anugraha manyamana pratishtham dishamuttaram. Narad Muni had only one shelter for him. As a young 5-year-old boy, his only shelter was his mother. And then the mother went out to milk a cow and she was bitten by the snake. And his only shelter, his mother, died. And this was the time of his testing, how much Bhagavatam he has actually studied and heard. Because that is a time where he could have gone anywhere. He could have gone astray. So if Narad Muni had resorted to only parrot-like study or repetition of the Bhagavatam or Gita, he would have left. He would have taken to any other process. Or he would have even doubted the existence of God. But this verse says, Tada tadahamishasya. This is Narad Muni himself explaining to Vyasdev, his own consciousness at that time. When it was revealed that his mother has died, his only shelter in this world has left. So he took that dead body, put it inside that hut, burnt a funeral pyre inside that hut, and the flames of that funeral pyre, they burnt down the entire hut also. And that was the last residence Narad Muni ever stayed in his life. Tada tadahamishasya bhaktanam sham abhipsatam anugraha manyamana. I understood one thing. Ishasya, I understood this is arrangement of Krishna, the supreme controller. It is Krishna's desire. And I know one thing, that Krishna desires bhaktanam sham. Sham means auspiciousness, welfare. Bhaktanam sham means always Krishna desiring welfare of devotees. Abhipsatam. Abhipsatam means desiring. Krishna always wants devotees to be happy. He always wants the welfare of devotees. Tada tadahamishasya bhaktanam sham abhipsatam anugraham manyamana. I considered this incident, this calamity, death of my mother to be anugraha. Anugraha means blessing. Manyamana, aisa swikar kiya. That means I accepted it like that. Aisa maan liya maine. I took that to be the blessing of Krishna because I had full faith Krishna desires welfare of devotees. Anugraha manyamana pratishtham disham uttaram. And then immediately I set out for the north. Because north means Himalayas. Himalayas means renunciation and devotion. And in this way, he took that as an indication to increase his feelings of devotion for the Lord. So this itself proves that he had assimilated the message of the Bhagavatam by serving the Bhaktivedantis. Like that. Okay, thank you. Just, yeah. I am grateful to you that you have given me an opportunity to be here and speak something. Although there are so many wonderful devotees here who can do a better job, but still it gives me a chance to become little Bhagavatam conscious during the day, you know, away from management. So I come for the same purpose that you have come, to be away from little management for some time. So I'm really, really grateful, and I'm hopeful that in future also we are able to associate and exchange.
You are a great fortune.
When you are doing Dhruv Maharaj?
First canto next year.
Okay, then. Yeah, I may want to be involved. Yeah. Dhruva Maharaj is one of my favorites, so we have made a small booklet also out of that. We have a series of lectures which we do after a youth festival called Parivartan. So 3-day seminar we gave on Dhruva Maharaj's whole episode. So 4th canto and 6th canto we did on Ajamil. Ajamil's whole thing, you know. So I'm very grateful that I've been given this chance. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.